Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
A bombshell revelation. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, reportedly calling a Chinese official, telling that Chinese official the U.S. would not attack.
China's not an enemy. And I think that's important for people to clearly understand.
I would call General Milley a hero. He behaved in a heroic manner.
So I give him high marks for this based on what's described in the book.
We were in a period of extraordinary danger. I think General Milley is going to be treated very favorably by history.
Am I a hero? I really can't say, but yes.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
You often hear people say they're worried about authoritarianism coming to America. Well, it's here. That's what this is.
If it is actually true, that's treason.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. We'll take your calls in just a moment. I want to just mention a couple of local stories, one of which was the preliminary elections in the city of Boston yesterday. And they didn't get the results until very late in the evening. I got a call around 10:50 and said Michelle Wu and Anissa Sabe George were the going to be the finalists. And that turned out to be the case, but they didn't have the official results for hours, until hours later. And they were just counting slowly, and there were these mail-in ballots were coming in. And the incumbent mayor, it looked like, she ran a terrible campaign, which I'll get to in just a moment. But for a while, they started counting these mail-in votes, and she suddenly pivoted, pole vaulted into second place from fourth place, which is a pathetic showing for an incumbent mayor, even one that's just an acting mayor. And everybody thought it was going to be 2020 presidential election all over again. Again, as I mentioned earlier in the day, the famous quote from Karl Marx: "History repeats itself first as tragedy, then as farce." The Boston mayor's race in 2021 would certainly have qualified for farce, does qualify for farce, but it turns out she didn't pole vault into second place for very long, and she finished fourth. But I was amazed yesterday. I got a call from a guy in Boston who's a political guy, and he said he went to his polling place at 10 o'clock in a heavy voting ward 18, Hyde Park, and he said there was not a single sign holder for a mayoral candidate. And I said, not even for Kim Janey, the acting mayor? And he said, no. And I said to him, and I could get him to confirm it, but of course that would be the end of his political career if anyone knew he was talking to me. But I said, that means she's going to lose. If you're the mayor of the city of Boston and you can't get someone to hold a sign at a precinct, I mean, I'm amazed. I was amazed. And he pointed out to me today, I talked to him today, he said, you said she was going to finish fourth. And I said, it seemed pretty obvious. Look at it this way. There's, I think, 222, something like that, precincts in the city of Boston. But some of them are, there's like three or four precincts in one place, like Holy Name and West Roxbury, Ward 20. So you maybe only need like 200 people, 200 precincts you have to cover. And the polls are open for 13 hours. So if you've got a really ambitious young hack at City Hall or in the neighborhoods, you can get him to hold a sign, or her to hold a sign, for the whole 13 hours, especially if the weather's not bad. So there are 18,000 city workers in Boston. Kim Janey couldn't get 400 of the 18,000 to hold a sign for her. So she's now not going to be the acting mayor for very much longer. And she's not going to be the city councilor because she couldn't run for reelection to the city council. So I'm guessing she's going to run for the newly redrawn black Senate district that Sonia Diaz-Chang is giving up to run for governor. So God only knows she can't. I don't think she's ready to become a hedge fund investor or go to work for Fidelity unless it's in human resources. But so that's the end. And the city council race should be pretty good because the eight finalists, they got four traditional type people, Flaherty, who was on the show, Aaron Murphy, who was on the show, and Althea Garrison, who was on the show, and then one other candidate. And they're running, they're four people. They're not running as a slate, but those are four people who kind of vote American versus four people who are more quote-unquote progressive. So we'll be keeping an eye on things as they go along. 844-500-4242. Try not to what I'm about to say destroy your faith in the integrity of the Massachusetts General Court, also known as the legislature. But one of Karen Polito's best friends at the State House, former State Representative Dave Nangle, was sentenced this afternoon by Judge Raya Zobel for illegally using campaign funds to pay for his personal expenses, defrauding a bank to obtain loans to purchase his home and repay his personal debts, and collecting income that he failed to report to the Internal Revenue Service.
I'm shocked, shocked.
I know you are. We sent out a picture of Karen Polito standing with him. They're dear friends, and he's also very friendly with Charlie Parker. He's 60. He's been sentenced to 15 months in prison, 2 years of supervised release, ordered to pay restitution of $33,000 plus to the IRS, forfeiture of $15,650. He had pleaded guilty to 10 counts of wire fraud, 4 counts of bank fraud, 4 counts of making false statements to a bank, and 5 counts of filing false tax returns. Would you care to guess what his committee assignment was in the legislature, Taylor? I've just told
ways
you that.
Ways and means?
Ways and means. Come on, man. The Ethics Committee.
Oh, I wasn't shooting for that ironic.
You'd be surprised how often that happens. It's like, you know, you get the chairmanship of the Ethics Committee and they're painting a target on your back. Marty Walsh, or as Biden calls him, Walsh Marty, used to be the chairman of the Ethics Committee. He was chairman of the Ethics Committee when he allegedly used campaign funds for private golf club dues, trips to casinos, and expensive dinners. But of course, that wasn't all. He also spent it on flowers for his girlfriend, gas, hotels. Nangle, he also bought thousands of dollars in gift cards for his personal use. That's always a good one, buying gift cards. Oh, it was for constituents' gifts at Christmas and for birthdays. Oh, you bought all these gift cards to the restaurant nearest to your house or the bar you like to drink at on Beacon Hill? Nangle knew, says the acting U.S. attorney, Mandel, that using campaign funds for personal use was prohibited and subject to oversight by an independent state agency, and concealed his theft by filing false reports that disguised the personal nature of the spending. In addition, from at least 2015 to 2018, Nangle devised a scheme to fraudulently obtain loans from a bank in order to finance the purchase of his home, fund his gambling addictions, and repay his personal debts. Nangle did so by making false statements on multiple loan applications, misstating his income and understating his debt. That's another one they nail a lot of them on, but that's called bank fraud. Nangle also obstructed justice by entering into a sham consulting agreement with a local business owner designed to make payments appear legitimate. How the hell did he find time to chair the Ethics Committee when he was committing all these crimes? In reality, Nangle never provided any legitimate services in addition to receiving $27,000 from that business owner. Instead, Nangle helped the business owner curry favor with an important client by sponsoring legislation that benefited the business owner's client. He also filed false income returns for tax years 2014 through 2018 by reporting fictitious business deductions for purported consulting work he did for a Bill Ricka company. He also double-dipped on deductible expenses arising from his work as a state legislator, fraudulently claiming thousands of dollars in false deductions for alleged charitable donations and misleading his tax preparer. I think I seem to remember this now that the the tax preparer said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to send this in. I think this is fraudulent. I'm going to get into trouble. And Nangle, according to the tax preparer, this was in, I think, the original indictment, hit the button to send it in rather than the tax preparer. But that's your Karen Polito, associate of the day. Karen, Karen's got a she really has a lot of low friends in high places, doesn't she? Is there anybody she knows who's not a little dodgy, shady? Mark, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Howie. Hey, in the early 80s, I was an Air Force dentist, and we weren't allowed to know the HIV status of patients because we didn't want to hurt their feelings because of Uncle Teddy's HIPAA regulations.
So, right.
We weren't allowed to know. We had to do, there was a cover sheet on their chart that said, you know, the communicable disease, which will never be, you know, go
mentioned.
Away. So
yeah.
That's the only way, yeah, that's the only way we knew. But here we are, this is something that actually could kill you, like 100%.
Right.
You know, and now this is just phony baloney, fakus, you know, flu that now these people are bending over backwards to not do their job that they've sworn to do.
It's amazing, isn't it? And you're right. I mean, yeah, HIV could kill you, but this, unless you're very old, very sick, or very fat, it's not going to kill you. And yet these doctors are using it as an excuse to virtue signal, and they think they're showing their moral superiority to a bunch of Trump voters. But they obviously, you know, they may be very smart. They went to medical school or dental school, but they don't do a lot of research as to who's not getting the vaccine. They're by their decisions not to treat patients, they're engaging in a form of Jim Crow, aren't they? I mean, this is apartheid medical care, because a disproportionate number of people who don't get the vaccination are black. Do they understand that? Do they understand it could be interpreted as a racist move? I don't think they know or they care. Thanks for the call, Mark. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Want more Howie? Click the Howie Cam on HowieCarrShow.com. Traveling around New England and having a hard time finding Howie?
In the Amity, you say yad.
They're in the yard, not too far from the car.
Just go to HowieCarrShow.com to find a station near where you happen to be.
Mother of mercy, is this the end of Rico?
Howie Carr is back.
Medicare plans don't have to be so confusing. Get a free no-obligation Medicare plan review. Call our friends at CBU Advantage at 800-267-6500, 800-267-6500. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Which country is more powerful right now, the United States of America or China?
China.
79% say China.
No question about it. 844-500-4242. Tom, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Howie. At the end of the last hour, caller was talking about people in the beds in hospitals, and I just wanted to bring something to light. I don't know if we've talked about it on your show yet, but, you know, a lot of the information as far as headcounts on people in beds seems to be cherry-picked, and what a lot of people don't realize is they tend to sway towards county-run hospitals and not just hospitals in general.
Yeah.
So, you know, the next time, you or your listeners are reading articles online, try to find out what hospitals they're sourcing from and whether they're private institutions or county-run hospitals, and then what the statistics as far as population looks like in that county. And you can get a better idea of, you know, why they're getting these numbers they are. I mean,
right.
In general, hospitals are doing fine. You will have hospitals that are being overrun, but it's certainly not the number. It's they're cherry picking the information, like I said.
Yeah, no, they are. I'm looking for a story right now that I saw today. I can't seem to find it. I'll get it after the break. It's from the Atlantic originally. Grace mentioned it yesterday, and someone boiled it down today and said that these hospitalization numbers are just meaningless. I mean, most of these numbers are meaningless. A lot of these cases. I know someone, a woman who went to a golf event and then she felt a little sick. So she went and got a test and they came back positive and it was going to slow her down. She had some stuff she needed to do. So she just went back and got a different test. And guess what? It was negative, but you know damn well that it's a breakthrough case. Oh, help, help. You know, they got the big scare headline. The big scare headline every night, you know, on the Herald and Globe websites. New breakthrough cases. Oh my God! It's just all BS. I'll try to find that story. I don't know what I did with it. 844-500-4242. Thanks for the call, Tom. Andrea, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Andrea.
Hi, Howie. Howie, yesterday I got my newsletter from Chip Ford at Citizens for Limited Taxation, and he included a copy of a letter he got from his bank, which is not in Massachusetts, which said that if Biden gets his $3.5 trillion budget that he wants, banks will have to send the federal government every check over $600,
right,
every piece of information about you. Okay, people don't know this. I turned around, I called my bank locally, it's a community bank. She had no idea, and she said to me, well, we won't be able to do anything anyway. And I said to her, well, if you sit there and do nothing, that's exactly what's going to happen. Then I talked to the president of the Mass Bankers Association. She happened to be quite receptive and worried. Now, Chip has sent the information to Matt McDonald, and
I've read that same story. The Wall Street Journal has written about this as well. And Biden is seeking an IRS strike force, like, you know, a SWAT team to go in after people. It's outrageous, especially if you've ever been the target of a political IRS investigation. Like, I think more people than you think have been. I include myself in that number. I got some grand jury testimony going back to a long time ago, to the Reagan years. And after I got the grand jury testimony, which displeased the U.S. attorney then more than somewhat, within a week I had an IRS audit. And then when I wrote the IRS, or I had my lawyer who'd also gotten an IRS audit notice, because he was the lawyer for the guy who's I got the grand jury testimony about. He got an IRS audit notice too. And as soon as we filed for to find out how it had been decided that we were going to be audited, that was the end of the audit. Look what Lois Lerner did in the Obama administration. They went after all the Tea Party groups to slow them down from getting involved in the 2012 reelection bid of the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. And I mean, the IRS is definitely a political organization. I mean, I mentioned the Kennedys earlier on. The Kennedys went after their political opponents who hit them up with IRS audits. It's disgraceful. I mean, you know, there's a guy, Harvey Silverglade, I think the name of his book, he's a lawyer, a civil liberties lawyer in Boston, or used to be, maybe retired now. He wrote a book called Three Felonies a Day, meaning that's what the average person commits. I mean, there's so many laws on the book, you can't help but be committing crimes as you go about your daily life. If they want to get you, they can get you. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. I found the story I was looking for. This is from the American Thinker. Don't freak out about hospitals filled with COVID patients. It's by Andrea Widberg today. One of the biggest stories in the media concerns hospitals filled to overflowing with COVID patients. However, as an article in The Atlantic, of all places, informs us, these numbers are misleading. almost half of the people in the hospital with COVID are either mildly symptomatic or asymptomatic. In other words, to anyone running around screaming, we're all going to die, the answer is no, we're not. Well, not yet anyway. The biggest story is that of a 73-year-old Alabama man who purportedly died from a treatable heart attack after dozens of hospitals across a three-state region turned him away, owing to the fact that their ICUs, intensive care units, were overflowing with COVID patients. I say purportedly out of caution because there's almost no confirming evidence other than the family say so. The hospital to which he was originally taken confirmed only that, quote, he needed medical services that were not available at that hospital, unquote. He ended up in a hospital in Mississippi, 200 miles from his home. There are two bits. These two bits of evidence indicate the indicate his family is accurately describing what happened. On the other hand, we also know that hospital staffers, especially nurses, are quitting in droves. You know about the maternity unit in upstate New York that's basically shut its doors because there aren't any nurses. They've all quit. Because they refuse to comply with hospitals, get vaccinated, or get fired mandates. That means the man could have been rejected from several hospitals, not because the beds were full, but because the staffing rosters were empty. Meanwhile, the Atlantic, which is one of the bastions of the deep state establishment, has a rather interesting story. It turns out that a deep dive study that looked at the data for all people hospitalized recently in America for COVID discovered that almost half the cases had minimal or no symptoms. I'll just read you a bit from this story, just one sentence. Roughly half of all hospitalized patients showing up on COVID data dashboards, again, this is the Atlantic, it's an organ of the deep state, this year may have been admitted for another reason entirely or had only a mild presentation of disease. Mild presentation, think like those guys in Provincetown. Oh, yeah, I couldn't taste hard candy for a couple of days. I mean, I'm sorry you couldn't taste hard candy, but, you know, it's not the end of the world. That was a national story. Remember that. And so the last paragraph in this story from Andrea Widberg is, once again, we're reminded that when it comes to media stories, do not trust and always, to the best of your ability, verify what the media say. They're guided by two metrics, sensationalism and pushing whatever narrative most benefits Democrats. Collectively, most of those who work for the media are ignorant, lazy, partisan, and unreliable. As a member of the media, I concur 100%. 844-500-4242. Having said that, though, you can trust me. I'm not like the others. Mike, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mike.
How you doing, Howie? Hey, good. I just wanted to elaborate on what you said with the Atlantic article I was calling up about. You know, if 20 nurses walk out of the hospital because they don't want to comply with the COVID testing, that's, 60 or 80 beds that are not usable.
Right.
Whatever the ratio is. Is it 1-4 or 1-5? It's not that they're overflowing. It's just that they can't staff them because you can't have one nurse for 42 patients.
Yeah, did you hear that dentist? Do you hear that dentist calling saying that when AIDS was running amok, they couldn't even, they weren't supposed to know if the patients had AIDS? And I mean, if you're dealing with somebody's mouth and saliva, and you get a cut, and you get something, you could literally get a deadly disease. But they weren't supposed to know about it. But now with this variation on the flu, preening physicians and healthcare professionals think they have a right to turn people away because they voted for Donald Trump, or they think they voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah, no shit. Yep.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Mike. 844-500-4242-508. One of the all-time politically induced IRS audits was Ted Kennedy sicking the IRS on the diver who retrieved Mary Jo Kopechne's body in Chappaquiddick. I think you or Jerry Williams had him on your show. Harassed so bad he had to move out of state. We had some of those guys on my show in the 1990s on the 25th anniversary. I was not aware of that, but I'm not surprised. They had a guy who wrote a pamphlet. I still have the pamphlet. I have a picture of it in Kennedy Babylon, The Strange Death of Marilyn Monroe. It was just a pamphlet, and it was very well done. Walter Winchell picked it up in his gossip column, and it was all about how basically they didn't use Bobby Kennedy's name, but how Bobby Kennedy had had certainly had something to do, shall we say, with the death of Marilyn Monroe, but they couldn't go after him because his brother was a martyr, et cetera, et cetera. And they have documents now that Bobby Kennedy just ordered the IRS to go after the guy. And, you know, they tried to destroy his life as best they could with IRS audits. And there's nothing like an IRS audit to just really screw you up. And it cost lots and lots of money. But, you know, the thing is, they have unlimited funds, unlimited time to hassle you. And you don't have unlimited time and you don't have unlimited funds. And so you just sometimes just settle up. And that's what happens. That's why most of these federal cases, you know, like Varsity Blue is an example, they don't go to trial because nobody, even these rich people who were giving, you know, $200,000, $300,000 to bribe the coaches and the people who were fixing it to get their kids into these schools that really aren't Ivy League schools, by the way. They can't fight the feds. 844-500-4242. David, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, David.
Thanks, Howie. They're so concerned about us getting COVID, but they never had any problem, Howie, putting those 13, so actually it's more than 13, because there's about 30 or 40 wounded soldiers in Afghanistan, and 13 dead, so we had about 30, 40 wounded right in the midst of the Taliban. So these young people, 20, 18, 19-year-olds, that are butchered, and Afghan, they're supposed to be concerned about us, and then Milley is going to conspire with China. What about that? Would endanger our soldiers.
I know.
Possibly they're concerned.
I know. Isn't that insane? And again, he had no reason to believe that Trump was going to hit China. No reason. Trump had been more passive, if you want to call it, if that's the right word, than all of the other presidents of the last 40 or 50 years. And yet somehow he's supposed to believe that he's going to attack a country that could strike back and really do us damage because they were given a lot of missile technology by an earlier Democrat president by the name of William Jefferson Clinton. And the other thing too is, are these physicians and other medical healthcare people, are they going to say that they're not going to treat any illegal aliens with tattoos on their necks coming across the border? They don't have to get vaccinations. Peter Doocy asked Jen Psaki about it the other day. We've played the cut a couple of times. Maybe we should play that cut again, just in case people haven't heard it. That is so telling. And Peter Doocy, I think he asked her about the Afghan refugees too. The Afghan refugees are unvaccinated. They're not forcing them to get a vaccination, are they? Are they forcing?
And more people are vaccinated with.
Why is it that you're trying to require anybody with a job or anybody who goes to school to get the COVID-19 vaccine, but you're not requiring that of migrants that continue walking across the southern border into the country?
Well, look, our objective is to get as many people vaccinated across the country as humanly possible. And so the president's announcement yesterday was an effort to empower businesses, to give businesses the tools to protect their workforces. That's exactly what we did. But certainly we want everybody to get vaccinated, and more people are vaccinated, whether they are migrants or whether they are workers, protects more people in the United States.
I love it. Whether they're migrants or whether they're workers. So in other words, the migrants, so-called, aren't coming here to get the jobs that no Americans want to do, as George W. Bush said. They're just coming over here to squat, to flop. But again, why aren't they forced to get a vaccination? Why aren't people on welfare forced to get a vaccination? Why aren't people who are in these cities that where you don't have to pay your rent, why aren't they forced to get vaccinations if they want to continue living as freeloaders? Why aren't the people who aren't paying their student loans, haven't been paying their student loans for a year and a half, why aren't they forced to get a vaccination, or they won't be allowed to be deadbeats any longer? How about that? 844-500-4242. Eddie, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hi, Howie. You talked at the end of the last hour about doctors refusing to treat patients because they haven't been vaccinated.
Right.
You know, I put a lot of blame on the doctors in this country. Why don't they get together with hospital people and say some people have natural immunity? You know, if you have COVID, you have natural immunity. You don't need the shots. And, you know, that would take care of a lot of this. And that, it would shut that buffoon up in the White House that thinks he's a doctor, but he's not. Howie, whenever I hear him, I think of what my mother used to say. Empty barrels make the most noise.
Who said that? Was that General Kelly who said that? Who was the chief of staff briefly for President Trump? I think it was General Kelly from Brighton, and originally from Brighton. But it's true. But the thing is that the doctors are subject to the same pressure. They talk about taking away doctors' licenses. I remember when this thing started, we had a doctor that we were close to, several of us on the show, and he was saying this was nonsense. And we said, "Do you want to come on the show?" And he said, "Are you kidding?" He said, I might even lose my license." And they're talking about, I've mentioned it before, but I was banned from YouTube for 2 weeks for discussing CDC's own statistics with Dr. June Deff, who comes on the show every once in a while, 2 weeks. And you know, that's something I can deal with. I guess it's a badge of honor in a way. But if you're a doctor, they are threatening doctors' licenses. The doctors got to pay. Most of them have high overheads. They got to pay the malpractice insurance. They got staffs. They got clinics. They got student debt. I mean, I don't blame them for keeping their mouths shut, even though they know this is a lot of this is nonsense. 844-500-4242-978. Geez, Howie, I may not have eaten right all my life, so I have a few extra pounds. Does that mean they can refuse me health care? I know. Where does it end? Where does it end? Or is it just that, you know, what if you're just doing something that some kind of unsafe sex? Can you be denied care because you didn't follow the rules, the well-known rules to keep your health? No, I don't think so. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here. The captain will be back after this.
Excitable? You bet I'm excitable. We're trying to put a guilty man in the chair where he belongs. Someone stops telling us fairy tales and we're listening.
Howie Carr is back.
207 says, ironic that now a refusal of care by hospitals is on the table when for months monoclonal treatments have been sitting on the shelves in hospitals as people suffered and died. Well, Ron DeSantis, or Ron Death Santis as they call him, you know, he was for the monoclonal treatment, so they had to be against them. FDA approved and Fed purchased, disgraceful, and they wonder why people don't comply. 844-500-4242. We got time for a few more calls here if you want to get on board. Meanwhile, the Democrats on Capitol Hill are trying to take advantage of their narrowest of majorities to ram through more legislation for the fundamental transformation of America into a third world flophouse. House Democrats, according to Breitbart, are opening their amnesty plan, which they hope to slip into a broad infrastructure package via the filibuster-proof reconciliation process. This is the Senate. To illegal alien gang members and registered sex offenders, because those are the kind of people you want in the country, right? On Monday, during a markup hearing for the Democrats' budget reconciliation, Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee voted against amendments that would prevent illegal alien gang members, convicted sex offenders, convicted drunk drivers, and those convicted of firearm or explosive offenses from securing a green card and eventually naturalized American citizenship as part of the amnesty plan. Isn't that convenient? 844-500-4242. Among those Democrats, they included Pramila Jayapal from Washington. Have you ever seen her on TV? She's really obnoxious. They had a story, an investigative story about her on BuzzFeed yesterday. You know how Amy...
She's like a squad wannabe member.
Yeah, she is. She's kind of like on the JV squad. She's in AAA for the squad. But apparently she's a worse boss than even Amy Klobuchar. They said that in the past she screamed at these young kids that are working as her staffers. She told one of them one time, she said, "You're the reason I'm gaining weight. You're not getting me enough time in the gym." Can you imagine that? Have you ever heard that before? A boss blaming a kid who works as a scheduler for them putting on weight? I mean, how insane are these people? 844-500-4242, and you can imagine who the other people are that are voting to let more illegal aliens into the country, and drunk drivers and illegal alien gang members, et cetera, et cetera. Bob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, Howie. I just want to, just point out to everybody that what they're trying to do in this country is destabilize everything. They want to make this a third world country because we are the standard. We are the standard bearers for this world. And so they attack whether it's your faith, whether it's the police, whether it's anything that organizes us together, whether it's the NRA, it doesn't matter. The destabilization is underway. And what they're going to do is they're going to just undermine everything. So there is no stability within society, and that's how they are attacking on a regular basis.
I agree, Bob. But what's the upside for them? Their kids are going to have to live in this this third world hellhole that they dream of creating.
But Howie, they have the money. They have the resources. They're going to live off of us because that's what we're locked into right now. We are locked into corporations. Corporations run anything, whether it's a vaccine or whatever it is. Corporations have their hands in it. Your doctor doesn't take care of you. Corporations take care of you. And that's where they suck the blood out of everything, and they get the money, and we're going to get the shaft. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. It's the old country song, "She Got the Mine and I Got the Shaft." Yeah, that's true. We are going to get the shaft. We're getting the shaft. It's not a question of the future. It's already going on. We just got to keep working and keep fighting back. 844-500-4242-201. Feel so depressed. Got my first COVID vaccine shot and lost all my freedom. Hey, you got to do what you got to do. You know, look at it that way and don't let it get you down. Just keep punching. Stay strong. I'm Howie Carr.